I was tempted to start the chant, one more song. That was really beautiful worship. Thanks, Phil, and to your team. I do feel blessed. I do feel encouraged. If you are here for the first time, which I'm assuming there's many in support of, excuse me. Are you waving at me? Hi. Okay. If you are here for the first time, I'm assuming there's many here supporting those who are going to be baptized. Welcome. We have been going through a series. It's going to feel a bit awkward because, you know, when someone tells you about a series on TV and then you get into episode 2 and then everyone is already talking about everything that happened in episode 1 but doesn't really tell you what happened in episode 1. It's going to be kind of something like that this evening. But bear with us, because we're building towards something. The title of our series is called Reclaiming the Glory of the Church Through a Revived Heart. That is, Reclaiming the Glory of the Church Through a Revived Heart. I think this sermon couldn't have come at a better time. We're talking about the building of the house of God. We're talking about the building and the growing of God's temple, His people. And we get to participate in two church ordinances on the same evening when we're talking about these things. Coincidence? No. God's sovereignty? Certainly. It's beautiful that we'll talk about a lot of these things and we get to see them before us. And my prayer is that as you partook of the Lord's table and as you'll see those being baptized, that your own heart will be stirred to say, look, I want to join. I want to be a part of this movement. I want to be a part of being obedient to that which is close to the heart of God. Last week, quick recap. So you can imagine last time on Haggai. We looked at the original zeal, so we were talking about people who left Babylon and they are now in Jerusalem, and God had sent them with the main purpose and the main goal to build the temple of Christ, but the temple of God. But we understand that when they got there, they got distracted. They built their own homes. They lived in lavish homes as the house of God laid in ruins. They focused so much on building their own self-image, building their own homes while God's house stayed there being unattended and being no one was working on it. So the prophet here, Haggai, says, listen, folks, you need to consider your ways. Put God back in His place. Put God first in your heart. Prioritize the things of God. After that, we saw there was a warning of dissatisfaction. Those things that we put before God, although they seem pleasurable, although we enjoy doing those things, they will only give us satisfaction for a short period of time. We read in Haggai that Haggai warns the people that you work so hard, but you don't reap the same amount of that which you've worked. Question, was that coincidence? Answer again, no, it was definitely God. And we ended by implications. This evening, I want to make this sermon more practical. And most of what we'll be talking about today will be practical elements of what does it mean to build the temple of God in 2018. Haggai challenged God's people and said, listen, church, get your act together. We need to get busy with the Lord's business. And the assumption should be, if in Haggai's day it was the temple, what is it today? As I was preparing, I came across a headline, and I just want to read it from exactly as I got it from the internet. It says this: the first witness in the trial against Nigerian pastor Timothy Omotoso took to the stand in the Eastern Cape High Court on Wednesday. Omotoso and his two accused face multiple charges, including human trafficking, racketeering, and rape. Omotoso, Sukiswa, and Lusanda face almost 100 charges. The Hawks arrested the pastor at Port Elizabeth International Airport in last year, April. He's accused of having sexually exploited and sexually abused up to 30 young girls and women. The tele-evangelist is a member of the Jesus Dominion International Church, and the victims were said to have been members of various branches of his church. Omotoso's alleged accomplices are accused of having groomed the young girls for sexual exploitation by the pastor. Sad news hitting our screens this past week. I listened to one of the girls say publicly that, "I don't even know how to pray anymore." I listened to one of the girls saying, "I don't know if I want anything to do with God anymore." You see, this is the sad result of what we are facing today as we're trying to build this temple, as we're trying to build the house of God. Last week I spoke about opposition, and opposition appeared in the news. This is direct opposition to the building process of the Church of God, because many who were already skeptical are going to say, "You see, I told you, church is not for me." Many who have sat next to us who were already weak in their faith will start blaming God for this and saying, "Look, God, I'm confident that probably this religion is not for me." This is a direct attack to the work that is being done by God in building His church. These are things we're going to have to face. So when the prophet Haggai was writing here to the people and saying, "We need to build the temple," the challenge today is we need to build the church. As these opposers of the kingdom of God keep rising in our midst, we cannot be apathetic. We cannot be indifferent about it, and we cannot choose to say, "Look, I'm not going to do anything about it because it doesn't affect me directly. PE is a bit far." But it affects us every day. So then how do we respond today to the challenge that Haggai gave us in verses 1 to 6? Let's dig in. Haggai chapter 1, verse 7 to 15. It reads, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood, and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it, and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and beheld, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for a drought on the land and the hills, on the grain and the new wine, the oil on the ground that brings forth, that on what the ground brings forth, on man and beast, and on all their labors. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. And the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, the people feared the Lord." Verse 13. "Then Haggai the messenger of the Lord spoke to the people with the Lord's message. I am with you, declares the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. On the 24th day of the month, on the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king." God, as we go through your word, I pray, Lord, that you'd remove any obstacle that hinders us from applying it. I pray, Lord, as the speaker, that, Lord, I would be clear, that, Lord, I may not push my own agenda, but, God, I may speak as thus saith the Lord. God, I pray for your spirit's guidance in the sharing of your word, and your spirit's guidance in the reception of your word. And, God, I pray for true life change. May your house be on top priority, and your kingdom be top priority in our lives. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So as I was preparing this sermon, I was asking myself, what is the best way to describe that which Haggai is saying here? And I thought of an ad. "Together we can do more." And this ad was this ad where it gets you feeling like, "Oh man, I also want to be a part of this building movement." And in the building of the house of God, in the building of the temple of God, we need to have the slogan, "Together we can do more." Mr. Paul Alexander suggests that God intends the local church to be a corporate display of His glory and wisdom, both to unbelievers and to the unseen spiritual powers. You see, when I think about the challenge that Haggai gave the challenge after Ezra. Ezra had challenged the people and the work started, but it stopped. And I was thinking, isn't that common for us today? You know, you hear this brilliant message, you walk out and you say, hey man, hey, top man, bro, yo, Pastor Charles is on fire today, man. Right? Aren't we sometimes like that? It reminds me of a time when I used to sit at home and I was watching the TV, I was on my phone or playing a game. And my mom would say, Jabu, I see the rain is coming, please go get the washing off the washing line. And obviously, because I'm the obedient child, I say, yes, mama, go do that. But not immediately. So I'll sit on my phone and I'll continue texting, and then texting leads to watching TV, and then what do I hear? Doo-doo-doo-doom. Shh. Immediately I get up, I run outside, I remember I have my phone, take my phone back inside, run back outside, get the washing and bring it in the house. That is sometimes how we are when we come to challenges from the Word of God. We say, oh yes, Pastor, amen, hallelujah. And we go home. And we do nothing. And then when things get difficult, when we read stories of Pastor Omotoso, we start being, oh, the rain is coming, I have to get up now. Hopefully by the end of this message, you'll be challenged to say, look, the time has come, I need to be involved. Whether young or old, rich or poor, the time has come for the house of God to start going up. For God's name to once again regain the fame that it deserves. Together, we can do more. So the first point is from verse 8. Three verbs. Go up to the hills, bring wood, and build the house of God, that I may take pleasure in it, and that I may be glorified. Haggai here, the prophet, he challenges the people. He says, look, you have to act. I've challenged you. I see you challenged. But go. Go up to the top of the mountain. Get the materials necessary. But don't just stay there. Bring it back and let's start to build. You see, we need everyone to drop everything and report to headquarters. Report to where God's people are. Bring all the materials and let's build. What are the materials needed for the temple of God today? It is His sheep. God has challenged us and said, look, we need to go out, go to the people, and share the gospel to God's lost sheep and bring them back into the fold. What, even the sheep who have wandered out, go out to them, minister to them that they too would come back. God has equipped us with the message of redemption. That through those who hear this message, they would respond in faith unto the voice of the prophet. Like I've just recently shared, it's easy for us to hear a brilliant or a good or just an expository sermon and say, look, that was a great message. But it's quick, it's easier for us to forget. We need to remember, in fact, that our minds have been affected by the curse of sin, that which we need to do, that which we know to do, we will not do. We will be reminded to do it, but we'll be quick to forget. You see, Nike beat us to it, or Nike. They beat us to it by saying, just do it. In fact, when God challenges us with His word, that is exactly what He's saying. You've been challenged, so just do it. Don't wait for specific times when you will reach spiritual highs. No. As soon as you're challenged, just do it. Get together with His people. Get up. Fix your eyes on the task ahead and the motivation behind it and get stepping. Let us do the work which is set before us. Like I've mentioned, this message is going to be more practical. So I'm hoping that when you leave here, you at least grab something and say, okay, when I leave here, I'm definitely doing one of those many things. The first point, the task requires universal activity. We learn from the challenge of Haggai that all Christians in this room need to be involved in the building of the temple. An author puts it like this: whom God would make strong for his service, he first subdues in fear before the Lord. In verse 12, we read this: then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Obedience is a response to our fear of God. Not a response to me, not a response to leadership, but a response of, I'm going to fear God more and I'm going to go. God is building his church and he wants me to be on board. So what happened in verse 12 where the leaders, the priests, the people just get together after the Lord has spoken to them and their spirits have been stirred and they started working, happened twice in the Bible. We read in the moment in Exodus when the Lord came down on Mount Sinai, when Moses was going to collect the law. And we read that there was a cloud that covered the mountains. God was there communicating with Moses. He gave Moses the law and he said to Moses that you and the people are to build the tabernacle and I will come and dwell there. Few years, thousands of years later, we read of a time in Pentecost where the Spirit of God came down in Acts chapter 2. And when his Spirit came down, the people, God wrote his law within the hearts of the people. And their response too was that they were to go and build the house of God, that he would dwell there. What are the materials needed for the temple? It is God's people, where his Spirit will come and dwell and they will serve him. We had a seminar on Wednesday and we were discussing the call of God. And I just feel moved to challenge you this evening to say we need more people in full-time ministry. We need more people in full-time ministry, and we need more people in full-time ministry generally. What do I mean by this? We need more pastors and missionaries. We need more children's workers. But we also need more people in full-time ministry in schools, in the workplaces. Olympia Morata wrote, "There is no part of the world so distant that we could not be glad to live in it if we could but serve God there with full liberty of conscience." You see, we need to find a place where we understand that when God is first in our lives, it means even the things that I'm most comfortable doing, if they come at the expense of the building of his kingdom, those things become secondary immediately. We need the remnant. We need those who fear the Lord to go out to where they are and minister to the people there with the sole purpose to bring these people in. That is what building this temple, that is what building the house of God, that is what building Central Baptist needs. People who go out, minister, and bring people in. And that's what he mentions, the second verb. He says, go up to the mountain and bring back the materials. You hear a lot of missionaries on the mission field saying things like, we have to think of creative ways to minister to the people. And I believe we have a lot of creative people right before us. We need more creative people who are going to go out and creatively minister to people, bringing them into the house of God. The second point is the task requires mission-minded people. We need people who are going to start running clubs and proclaim Christ. We need people who are going to open their homes for FIFA. Beautiful game. For board games, for baking, for movies, for intentional ministry. We need more people who are going to do that. We need people who will look for those who are sitting alone next door after the service. We need people who will encourage those who haven't been to church for a while. We know them. Who's encouraging them? This in no way compromises the message of the gospel. But it certainly sounds to me like a church that is at work. If we are to open our homes and open our lives to the reality of this gospel ministry, the temple is going up. I'm by no means, when I talk about creativity, I'm by no means meaning that we are to conform to this world in order to transform. But God does want us to adapt our methods to bring His sheep back into His fold, who have wandered and some who are still prone to wander. A writer says, when it comes to building a people for His own name and glory, God does care how we go about participating in His redemptive purposes. So three things. The first one is the task requires universal activity. We all together need to be involved. Number two, it requires that we go out and bring them in. And number three, the aim is to grow the workforce for the glory of God. And when I read this, you know, we've gone out, tick. We've brought them in, tick. How do we build? And to answer the question of how do we build, the question has to be, how welcoming are we? When people have done the job, when people have worked so hard to go out and bring the sheep in, how welcoming are we as the saints of God? I always think about those movies we watch while growing up, where there's this group of teens who go to a new school, and over there there's the cool kids, and over there there's the nerds, and over there there's the goths, and then the in-betweens. And they get there with their trays, with their lunch, and they're just like, whoa, where am I gonna sit now? And when I think about this, I think it has slowly seeped into the church. Where you go next door and you're like, ooh, okay, the cool kids. Alright, that's definitely a monoculture. No. That's just varsity. I can't fit in there. And that's the old people. No offense. but just think about it. How do you feel when we're sitting around the table in fellowship next door and a stranger comes up and we've all noticed that there's that one chair that's vacant and we are there and everyone is present from our crew and a stranger comes and pulls up a chair? How do we feel? Do we feel awkward or do we feel like, okay, now we have to change the conversation, someone's here? Or do we start leaving one by one and we're gonna move our meeting elsewhere and then this person will be on his own? You see, these things can hamper the building. These things can cost the building of the temple. When was the last time you spoke to someone outside of your age bracket? Someone older than you? Someone younger than you? When last did you have fellowship with them after the service? Are you welcoming to people of another culture, of another race? You see, the more divided we are when it comes to race, and the more we become monocultured, the more we try to benefit one ethnic group over the other. I personally believe that this will hinder the process of building the church of God. We need to be more conscious that we don't fellowship with people who are like us alone. I personally believe that most times it's just a matter of preference, but we need to be more conscious that, yo, guys, we need to realize it's just us. We need to fellowship and branch and spread our wings. If we want to be faithful in any of these tasks that have been set before us, we need to do it as one. Christ did say that a kingdom divided will not stand. A temple divided will not stand. If we are not working together, different age groups, different socioeconomic stances, if we do not work together, we will have no fruit. Another question, when was the last time you stayed after the service? After an evening service, after the morning service? When was the last time you stayed and enjoyed some fellowship? See, this is exactly the tone of what Haggai is talking about here. Haggai is saying, look, we need to build. That when God looks at the house, when God looks at the church, in verse 8, He will say, I take pleasure in it. I am glorified with this house. So, there are places in the church where we're looking for builders. We're looking for workmen. For example, Builders are required to be present in morning or evening services, or both. We need workers who are going to be present to listen as we're being challenged. Bible studies. We need people who are going to be a part of the building of the house of God to be present in Bible studies. No longer should it be an option, okay, I'll go if I feel like it. No, we need people, God's people, there as we build. Join a ministry. Discipleship. This is a question that even before I landed here at Central, I had to constantly ask myself, who are you discipling? Right now, as you think about your day-to-day life and you think about your schedule, who fits into your schedule under the bracket discipleship? Life on life. Who's discipling you? I think the greatest fear among students or just amongst people as a whole is to go up to someone and say, would you please disciple me? But sometimes that is something we need to do. Go up to people and say, look, I'd really love to be discipled. Would you please disciple me? Mercy ministry on Wednesdays. We need more people who are going to be serving in the kitchen. We need more people who are just going to be having conversations with the people who are less fortunate than us. Sharing the love of Christ just by conversation. Listening to their stories. Encouraging them with the scriptures. Just your presence. We need more people in the prayer ministry on Wednesday mornings. 6 a.m. Even saying it is tough for me, I'll be honest. It's something we need to do. As a church, we need to be present when we're praying. We need to be praying. Wednesday mornings at 6, before you go to work or before you go to class, just slip in, we pray, and then go to school or work. Sunday school, blast off, youth. Children matter to God. We need more people who are willing to get their hands dirty in these ministries. Willing to get involved in these ministries and disciple the children. Disciple the teens. Disciple the children who come into the house of God hungry to hear these truths. We need Sunday hosts. Not just people who are going to stand by the door. But people who are going to take the job of just looking for visitors and just chatting to them. Without a job title. We need to take part in believers' baptism. The Lord's table and baptism are essential parts to the kingdom of God. To the building of the temple. They don't make you Christian, no. But they are essential parts to the building process. If you haven't been baptized, please do consider. Think about it. As a builder, as a co-worker in this task of building the kingdom of Christ, have you been baptized? Are you a member of the local church? I was speaking to a guy, I hope he's not here. I was speaking to a guy on Wednesday and he shared this to me. He said, you know, I was encouraged to come to church because I was thinking, if I had to die today, who's going to bury me? It's a genuine question. And it brought me to think how generally as a culture, not specifically that individual, but as a culture, we expect so much from the church. The church is to be committed to me. But when the church asks me to be committed to it, another time. If you are part of the local church, it means that you are part of God's plan to grow the church. We need to be involved in missions. Think about going to full-time missions. Pray about it and ask God, God, have you called me into full-time missions? If the answer is yes, do not run away from that call. Speak to one of the pastors. Call up Pastor Eric and say, I feel like I've been called to missions. Support missionaries as well. Give to missions. Take over our social media pages. I don't even know if we have them as Central. You could come up with one for us. Where we can reach the masses through just a social media page. Folks, we have so many opportunities to be used by God within the house of God. We just have to say, God, use me to build. I'm a builder. I am here. Use me. When Haggai was writing this to the people, he just wanted people who were available for the task. That's what I'm calling for this evening. We get an example from people who walked before us. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, he was an enthusiastic founder of the church. He was consumed with a burning devotion to his work of glorifying God and blessing men. The apostles and the early preachers, just to name a few, the 11 disciples in the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 20, as they went out and ministered, the apostle Paul in Philippians 3, verse 13, there's even woman, Mary. Mary was also committed to the task of building the house of God. Apollos in Acts 18, verse 25. Augustine, Calvin, Knox, Wesley, Elizabeth Elliot, Olympia Morata, C.S. Lewis, R.C. Sproul, Piper, and Chan. Can I add you to that list? Can... if the Lord permits, when my son comes up to preach this very message, can he put your name on that list? Can he go and name all these people and say Chan and then say Njabu? May that be the desire of our hearts. That we will be seen as faithful builders in the house of God. Whether in or outside, just proclaiming his name forevermore. We are not merely intended to get our needs met. We are intended to be part of God's plan for drawing people to himself, for encouraging and building up those who are already his children. We are intended to not just be consumers, but we are to be intended to be providers. We are co-workers with God himself in the work of the gospel. You can read 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. Now, the last two points, I'll go quickly because I spoke a lot about it last week. Number two, be reminded of the consequence of disobedience. Two things there. Withheld personal blessing and withheld global blessing. Verse 9 says, "For you looked for much and beheld, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house." The danger here that I had to keep warning myself is, we cannot directly take this and apply it today, because God is obviously specifically speaking to the remnant here in Jerusalem. But we also shouldn't be ignorant of the fact that Christ is building his church. And anything that will come in between his mission for building the church, he will most likely move it away. He is more than willing to take away anything that will be a hindrance to that which is in the crown of his heart, his own kingdom. Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." What happens when you don't seek him first? Do you still get the all these things? So he warns the people here that be careful. Consider your ways, for the Lord will chasten those whom he loves who are not obedient to his voice. Withheld global blessing, C.S. Lewis says that the fall of economies, the calamity that revolves around us in God, is God's big megaphone calling his people back. As we look at the state of our economy in the country, as we look at the bad things that are happening around us, as God allows these things to happen, he's using his big megaphone saying, "Church, come back. Come back and build. If you want to see light, you won't find light where there is darkness. Come back into the light and shine it to the people who do not know me." And in closing, be encouraged by the assurance that God gives. In verse 12, he says this, "And Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message. This is a message from God. I am with you, declares the Lord. Have you heard this before? Matthew 28, 18 to 20. When God says, go out and build my kingdom, what is the very same promise he gave? I am with you always till the ends of the earth. Be encouraged by the assurance that God gives. The biblical hallmark of church health, hallmarks of church health is holiness, faith and love, and sound doctrine. These are cultivated in us as we are captivated by God. God is the giver of strength. God says to the child that is hurting, to the child that wants to serve him, go and just do it, for I am with you. I am holding your hand. The people here in the book of Haggai didn't just have an emotional response. They obeyed the voice of God and they acted. In this very group, I am confident that there were some introverts in there. I'm confident that in this group, there were some extroverts as well. This task of the building of the kingdom of God is not for a specific few. It is for everyone. Holding hands together, serving God. He is the giver of materials for the job. He gave you your spiritual gifts that you could use them to edify the body of Christ. All the gifts that you have, if you read Corinthians from 12 to 14, all those gifts, he gave them to you that you would serve and edify his body. He designed us to minister and to be ministered to. The finances you have, God gave you those finances to sustain you and to aid in the building of his temple. He also promises to protect us from the adversaries. It took 14 years. 14 years for the people to grow apathetic to God. For 14 years they watched the temple as it sat there in ruins. But it took about weeks for the people to get back and serve God. Don't worry about the time that you've already wasted. Don't worry about the mistakes that you've committed in the past. God is calling you today and he says, come my child and let us build my house. I am with you. For 14 years, yes, you neglected me. But the task is still for you. Do not wait. Do not wait until you reach spiritual milestones before you serve him. Serve him now. Repent if there's anything wrong that you've committed and serve the Lord. I'm reminded of a hymn, and I'll close with it. Just one, I think it's the chorus. It says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let's pray. Father, may we be reminded for our works produced by faith, our labor prompted by love, and our endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. May we be a church that is not only concerned about the lost, but may we be actively pursuing them with the gospel of Christ. God, may you fan to flame the gifts that you have given us, that we could edify the body of God, and build your church of you as you have intended for the glory of God. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.